This is Jack Donahue speaking. We'll be interviewing Will Ravinas today on the subject of the Delaware Canal and the Friends of the Delaware Canal, the organization. Will is a Solbury resident and local historian and author, and we're conducting the interview in Will's home office. The date is December 9th, 2014. Will is 82 years old?
86.
86, I'm sorry. And he's been living in Solbury for?
61 years.
61 of those 86
years. 61 years in the same relative house. That's un-American.
Yes, yes. As you can see, Will is a little bit different, but he is the historian of Solbury. So, Will, why don't we begin by you giving us an introduction to your experiences with the canal and with the Friends of the Canal.
Of course, there are books galore on the history of the canals. Zimmerman, Bob McClellan, Yoder, Bill Yoder's book. So there's no attempt to tell the story of the canal, but rather the story of my involvement with it,
right,
which started in 1963. When I had a rough year in New York and decided to walk the canal, and I walked the towpath to Easton and said, gosh, this is perfectly beautiful. There are so many fascinating things to see and to know about the 60-mile canal, not least of which is that environmentally, it's a cross-section of the Atlantic seaboard, and it's very hard, if not impossible, to find another 60 miles where you can go from the mountains down through the fertile plains down to the Atlantic coastline. You can't do that in Maine and Massachusetts or in the South. So I was fascinated with the environmental surroundings. And then there are subsets of rhododendron and hemlock that are right down at the bottom of my hill that are nowhere else. I was also intrigued with the 300-year history of the area, from the original settlements, George Washington, and then the Civil War, and the significance of the Industrial Revolution with coal coming down on the canal and a lot of industrial work being done in the Lehigh Valley, and also ending up coming down the canal. It's a wild and wonderful historical sequence. And I was also intrigued that the canal, as a park, is a wonderful place to exercise. You can walk, run, ride, hike, canoe, birdwatch.
Bicycle ride.
Bicycle ride like you do.
Yeah.
it's amazing, and it's right here. It's 60 feet wide and 60 miles long. It's quite a wonderful piece of real estate. So I was fascinated and ended up writing the guide to the Delaware Canal, which has now gone through 8 editions and well over 10,000 copies. So I'm glad to have been able to share my enthusiasm with other people.
That's an amazing sales number, I think, 10,000 copies.
Well, I'm up over close to 100,000 copies of everything that I've done. So,
wow.
You know, the rest of them are all on the internet with the Solbury Township Historical Society.
Right.
So most of it is, anyway. I think there's some kind of interesting people who have been involved with the canal at the time that I started and shortly thereafter, people that don't get as much coverage and as much attention. I don't know that anyone has written anything about Hal Clark. Hal Clark and his wife, Sarah Maynard Clark. They are remembered by the existence of a small park a half mile below Centerbridge, which is undeveloped but is Hal Clark Park. Hal Clark was a character out of the 19th century. He was basically a newspaper man, and his contribution to the canal was writing letters or writing articles for newsprint.
You cross over the bridge off of River Road to get to that park, right?
True.
Right.
True. It's a piece of undeveloped real estate. Mm-hmm. But there are things about Hal. I don't know that anyone has written about Hal. He was a memorable character. And he did great things to promote the canal, towpath, and the park that was involved. So he did a lot of good, but he did it in a rather unique 19th century way. Today, Jack, you and I take a shower every morning and the world starts. Hal didn't know much about showers, so whereas we take 360 odd showers a year, Hal was lucky if he did the other five. So when he entered a room, you ended up knowing that Hal was there.
A presence.
To compound the problem, he had a cigar. Sometimes he smoked it, sometimes he chewed it, but it was always part of the scene. And very evident. People knew that Hal was there. And then in a meeting, if he was meeting with you and he had a point to make, he had his index finger and he would poke it at your chest until as though to drill a hole in your anatomy. And there are people who said, whatever Hal wants, give it to him because we can't stand the abuse. Poor Hal. But that's all right. In a strange way, he did some wonderful stuff for the canal. And that's great. He was important. There was also a man named William Francis Taylor, who was basically an artist, lived at Catalossa in the house just opposite what has recently been an inn. And he was the first president of the Delaware Valley Protective Association. I thought it was a mafia front at first, but I realized after a bit that it really was a worthwhile organization trying to protect the canal. And Bill Taylor also wrote and pictured the canal, which at the time was kind of novel. This was back in the 1930s.
Just when it was shutting down as a operating canal.
Well, it shut down in 31, and there were people that said it really is an asset. It's something to be protected. It's something to be developed. And it was people like Bill Taylor that said, don't forget it. I live in this absolutely extraordinarily beautiful section of the towpath, about halfway between Easton and Bristol. And so he began to picture it, how Clark wrote about it, and they got the ball going for trying to preserve, and the state, as recorded in the books, ultimately took over the Lehigh Cola navigation rights to the canal. The company had basically abandoned the whole thing. This was fortunate because by 1955 we had the Great Flood, and that flood did amazing damage, particularly at the upper end where the water is constrained by the hillsides, and so the water ripped away the towpath and the berm bank that protected it, and the state was then faced with the issue of either repair it or abandon it. And there was enough public pressure, public interest, to result in major repairs, million-dollar repairs at that time, which was great. As I say, I went through the various additions to the guide to the canal, and that helped a little bit. Then in 1982, two ladies got together and founded the Friends of the Delaware Canal. Betty Barr, who is no longer with us, but she lived in Smithtown, and Betty Orleman, who lives up in the hills up above. Betty Orleman still gets around to some of the events. And shortly after the founding of the Friends of the Delaware Canal, Susan Taylor was hired. Exact year, I forget, but I remember that this was a major investment in hiring somebody to work on the canal.
Yeah, to be the executive director of the organization.
And boy, what an asset that has been over the years. She has done phenomenal work. I might describe for a second the symbol of the Friends of the Delaware Canal, which shows two young guys on the back of a canal boat being towed by a mule. And it's lighthearted and fun. It actually was a metal sign. It was a cutout metal sign over something called the Towpath House in New Hope. And I spotted it one day going up Canal Street and said, wow, that's such a wonderful symbol, and it's so lighthearted and so happy. We ought to reproduce it, photograph it, reproduce it, and turn it into a symbol for the Friends.
Oh, it is a great symbol. It's terrific.
It is much more interesting than the Erie Canal or the Chesapeake in Ohio or any of the other symbols of canals. They're kind of static.
Yeah, much less traditional. Yeah.
So it's fun that it actually existed at first in sheet metal. Who did it, when, I have no idea, but I said it's too good to pass up. We might talk for a little bit about the canal boats and the canal boat business, because here in 2014, there is no canal boat operative. The first canal boats for public use, or just tourist use, were started by a guy named Pete Pascuzzo. And Pete ran the canal boats out of New Hope for about 20 years. He was very effective, and he created the business, which was then inherited by George Schweikart. George is still around.
Yes.
He's Bavarian. He seems to have come to America to see the world and fell in love with the mules and ended up running the mule barges for another 20 years. So there's at least 40 years of operation there. When a couple things disastrous happened. Number one, the state decided not to renew George's contract to run the canal boats. That's discussable. At least he did it. He made it work. And he promoted it in Philadelphia and brought a lot of people up here for a lot of pleasure. What the state's problem was, I never could figure out and never could understand, because I went to public meetings in support of George. But the state said no, and ultimately they issued the concession, as it is, to George Fernandez. George lives in New Hope, and he at least impressed the state that he could run the canal boats again. There are, however, a few problems. The first is George is a big-time operator. Last seen in the press meeting with the Pope in Rome. And as the press presented it, it seemed that George was representing all Catholics in America, which is kind of a big order. But George got a lot of credit and a lot of pictures taken of his audience with the Pope. And then he came back to live in New Hope. He has the contract, but he lacks three things. The first is water in the canal. And to this day, we're still struggling to see if we can get water all the way down to New Hope.
Yes, even with the pump,
it's not there yet.
Pump at Center Bridge is limited in New Hope, yes.
The second issue is there are no extant mules. The old mules are no longer with us. And it's not clear that George Fernandez is going to buy, train, and operate mules. That's a kind of a different world from meeting with popes.
But you need water in the canal in order to
first you need water,
get involved with the
second
mules.
Second, you need mules. And third, you need canal boats.
What's the third thing?
the canal boats, there are actually two of them. They're steel hulls, and they're sitting at the Center Bridge Inn.
Right.
In the property of Jerry Horan, who runs the inn. I understand Jerry has offered them for sale to anybody crazy enough to want to buy them at $10,000 for one canal boat and $15,000 for both canal boats. But there they sit alternately full of water and occasionally pumped out. All their interior furnishings are long gone.
And not in the best of condition, at least as they appear from the bridge, anyway.
In all probability, they need to be hauled out, turned over, sandblasted, and then repainted with something protective mm-hmm. of the iron. So there's a big investment involved, which is not currently being pursued. There's a certain amount of noise, but I don't think anything else has really happened.
And parking would be a problem also, correct?
Well, parking at New Hope would probably be a problem.
Right.
To be worked out with the fire company, which is in charge of the parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
So there are many jurisdictions that are still hanging fire. So whether the canal boats will operate anytime soon is a question. Another part of my involvement with the Delaware Canal was trying to get recognition for the canal on a national basis. The objective being that if we hang enough national accreditations onto the canal, it will be preserved and not turned into a four-lane highway or a garbage dump or and some of the other suggestions that have come along. So in 1974, I was at least helpful in getting the Delaware Canal listed on the National Register of Historic Places. And 4 years later, in 78, it was designated a National Historic Landmark. This is a matter of making applications and following through. We have the reasons to be historic, but it just needed work to be done attached to it. In 1976, the towpath was recognized as an official hiking trail by the Boy Scouts of America, Bucks County Council. That's great. The scouts get out there and they hike from one end to the other periodically. Then in 1988, the Delaware and Lehigh Navigation Canal National Heritage Corridor was designated between Bristol at the lower end and Wilkes-Barre at the top. This was established by Congress and signed into law by President Ronald Reagan on November 18, 1988. The corridor was subsequently declared a state heritage park. And there is the DNL Heritage Office up in Easton. Their primary obligation is to try and put the Lehigh Canal and towpath back to in existence again, because so much of that land was sold off to individuals and municipalities when the Lehigh Colon Navigation went out of business. The case of the Delaware Canal is a little simpler because it's already a state park and it is under some kind of maintenance.
The Lehigh never became a state park, did it? Or is
there? There are efforts, and I can't answer the question exactly.
Okay.
It never did in the 30s or 40s or 50s or 60s or 70s or 80s or 90s.
Okay.
But it may be parts of a state park now. Mm-hmm. It is equally beautiful, but it's a lot harder to pursue. As I tried last year, we took a car and Jerry Taylor, Susan's husband, and I drove up through there, and we succeeded in getting royally lost periodically, even though we knew where we were.
There's no river road along there.
There is no river road.
Right, and it's really rough country, very hilly.
Yeah. It's very hilly, and there's a lot of development that has taken over the sides of the canal, so it's a little complicated. But we, continuing with accreditation, in 1990, the U.S. Secretary of Interior designated the Delaware Canal towpath as a national recreation trail. Again, you put a sign out there, and that's about the extent of the excitement, but it means that if anybody starts to fool around with the canal and try and do something adverse to it, you have a lot of government agencies that you have to face. Mm-hmm. Because the canal is protected. One of the fun accreditation recognition efforts was in the years 1988, 89, 90, and 91, when there was a program called Take Pride in Pennsylvania. And all kinds of nonprofit civic groups applied to say, I'm doing something really great for Pennsylvania. And lo and behold, the Friends of the Delaware Canal were winners in those 4 years for their efforts to preserve, restore, and interpret the landmark. Then, as winners of Pennsylvania, we earned the possibility of Take Pride in America, which was a national award, and we received that in 1990, which came with the attendance at the White House in Washington. So I got to visit the White House.
That's great.
Along with three or four others. And that was just rare and fun. We won in the year 1990. We were finalists in 88, 89, and 91. The program ran its course and subsequently died, not least of which was that people like the Friends of the Delaware Canal entered and won almost every year in some way or other, and they said, this is, you can't have the same guys winning all the time. So we got our kicks, and I got to visit the White House, and it was all great fun. But the Take Pride program came with a survey of the canal, which was ended up being conducted in 2013, and proved that over a million people visit the canal each year. Now, if you go down there five times a week, times 52 weeks, you do count for quite a number of visits. But the net of a million visits is still significant, and a lot of parks don't come anywhere near that. So it has helped to improve our attention and care. I might also add one other man who has done fabulous things for us, Lance Metz. Lance Metz was the historian for the corridor, and before that for the Lehigh Canal, and he was absolutely encyclopedic. You could ask him anything about the canals or the creation of the steel industry in the Lehigh Valley.
And he worked up in Easton, I believe.
He worked in Easton, but he, you know, start the topic and turn Lance off at a half-hour point. He just simply had the facts. He also laid hands on many of the early drawings and materials related to the canal, and the early toll records from which you can build a very finite history of the canal. Then after that, when he had his hands on almost all that he could find, he went to work on the Bethlehem Steel records. And as the Bethlehem Steel Company in Bethlehem went bust, their records all were about to be burned or dumped. Huh. And he got his hands on all the drawings and internal records of the company as it existed in Bethlehem. And so there is a vast store of valuable, interesting historic information up there.
When Lance had custody of that film, one of the few existing, maybe the only film of the
well, there were two or three films
canal
at various times.
The canal boats in operation.
Right.
Yeah.
But he reproduced it and presented it periodically, and that was great.
Yep.
I've been on the board of the Friends of the Delaware Canal at least two sessions. I don't know how long. A long time. Just like you have, Jack.
Yeah, probably, I would guess more than 10 years probably.
Yeah. And it's at least 10 to 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been involved in other ways. Among other things, I've done lectures on the canal itself and its history. I put together a collection of 35 millimeter slides of pictures of the canal. Now, the canal is a transportation system, just like a railroad. But I don't think there are very many pictures of railroads. Notwithstanding, we have one of the largest railroad transfer yards in the country, right down in Morrisville. But I don't know that anybody has ever sat down with an easel to paint the railroad yards. But people paint the canal to a fare thee well. And so at first I wanted to buy a painting of the canal, till my wife pointed out that we had kids to educate. So after that, I decided to collect 35 millimeter slides. And I have about 150 of them, which have been boiled down to about 110 or so, in a show of the Delaware Canal in art. And this includes most of the great painters of the New Hope area in a series to say, how do different people interpret the same canal through a time and different techniques? So I've done that, and those slides are still around. I did a show a year ago, on the five canals that cross or are involved with the Delaware River. The Hudson, the Delaware and Raritan, the Lehigh, the Delaware Canal, and the Delaware and Raritan. And then we found there was the Morris Canal.
Hmm.
There was even a little canal in Trenton, New Jersey. Somebody put their hand up in the middle of the presentation and said, "You forgot one!" Said, oh, how could we? But at any rate, there was an internal Trenton City Canal. And the story is, of course, quite different in each one. The another show I put together related to Louis Comfort Tiffany, as in Tiffany in New York. Louis had a wife and four children, and then his wife died. And he was in quest of a new wife for the rest of his life. And he was entranced with a lovely lady who was the daughter of President Knox of Lafayette College. And Louis said, "What can I do to impress her and her father that I am the man for the case?" He took two canal barges. They were just open work boats, really. They were not used for hauling coal. But he had them redone and put in oriental carpets and put in a top on each one with spangles down along the side and put flowers in it. And then he hired two black men. One was the chef and the other was the waiter. And they had one canal boat. And Louis and a bunch of his friends and the lovely lady took the canal boats from Bristol area on up to Mauchunk on the Lehigh.
Went up both canals.
With
they went up both of the canals.
Both canals, yeah. The Delaware and the Lehigh.
Wow.
And then there was a book produced, actually written by Henry Holt, who was a publisher in New York. We would know it as Holt, Winston, and Reinhardt now as a publishing house. Henry logged their adventure, and it's known as the log of the Molly Polly Chunker. Molly and Polly were the mules, and Chunker referred to Mauchunk, or now called Jim Thorpe, up on the Lehigh. So that book came out, and I got my hands through Lance Metz on the photographs that Louis Tiffany actually took. They're perhaps not the greatest photographs in the world, but they're a fascinating report of what the canal and the countryside looked like in 1886. So that was before the Brownie camera came out. That was before all the excitement of creating cameras and public ownership thereof. So that show has been fun to do.
I've seen these three different photographic exhibits that you put on, and they are great. It's a great history lesson and very entertaining also.
And then, thank goodness with you, I have participated in Faces and Places.
Yes, you have.
On tours of the area with relation to the canal. So there's lots to be said about the canal. One thing that should be mentioned is the Maxi Muck. The Maxi Muck is a track vehicle with a very, very long arm that can reach out with a scoop and clean out the sides of the canal. This was back in the early 90s, I think. And the point of the excitement of the Maxi Muck is that the Friends of the Canal decided to take the initiative and purchase one, which was something like $200,000, which was a lot of money at the time.
Still is.
But we raised most of the funds, and even to the extent of having glass jars at the grocery stores for nickels and dimes. And the state was embarrassed by the fact that we, the civilian support group, had raised so much money that they covered the final costs and the operation of the machine. So it now is a godsend in clearing the canal along the way. So a great deal has been done. When I started my involvement with the canal, there was no executive director. There was no Friends of the Delaware Canal. There was a minuscule budget. There were very few men working on maintenance of the canal. There were only two or three vehicles, and one of them was a restored World War II vehicle. Now we have a fleet. We have more men, not enough, but more men. We have an active Friends of the Delaware Canal with 500 members, something like that. And I think the canal is at least safe for the moment. Maybe not fully watered, but it's safer than it was. And it's really exciting to realize that so many people appreciate the beauty of it and the history of it and the pleasure of using it. So I'm happy. It's a good deal.
Yeah, well, Will, thank you. And you've had a lot to do with this canal staying in business these years, and I think we're all confident it'll stay that way into the future.
Here's hoping.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks a lot, Will.